In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, one of the altar boys was trying to figure out how long my homily was going to be, so I will make sure to go as slowly as possible. Just kidding. But I just have 2 points in today's homily. And so some of us were praying at the abortion clinic today, and I heard a child say very loudly, "Mother of Life." She called Mary the Mother of Life. And I thought, it just struck me. And sometimes when I feel in my heart the Holy Spirit has highlighted something, I understand it's often to share with people. And that's actually going to be the launching point of my homily, is on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception, why is Mary the Mother of Life? And we're going to dissect those two words, both mother and life. And it's maybe appropriate that a child was saying this and kind of playing, because it fits into today's Proverbs chapter 8 that says, "I was with him, forming all things, and was delighting every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world, and my delight is to be with the children of men." Put this book down for a second. Well, it's an unlikely place, of course, to begin a quote on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception and Abortion Clinic. But life begins at conception, and that is why we were there. And that's why we're here today, too, to worship God in honor of the Blessed Virgin, because this is the day her life began. So like I said, there's 2 parts of the homily, life and mother. Life is going to be for the mind, and mother for the heart. And I think we're just going to start with the mind here. The Mary's life began at conception, and because she's the biological mother of the Redeemer, is why our life began in some sense today too. Because Mary gave Jesus the fullness of his humanity. So we wouldn't have a Redeemer if it weren't for Mary. So in some sense, even though today's the beginning of Mary's life, it's also the beginning of our supernatural life. This is why Mary's called the Mother of the Living. I find it interesting that more and more people keep pitting the Catholic Church against science. But the Catholic Church has always known that life begins at conception. Just look at what we've called this homily for this feast for 2,000 years, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The Church has always understood life begins at conception. And if you get a neonatology book or a genetics book or an embryology book from any med school, you'll see that's undeniable, that the launching point of life has to happen at that very moment when the cascades of calcium and everything happen, when there's a new individual at the meeting of those two haploids. Once that 26-chromosome, unrepeatable thing, unrepeatable human being is made, there's no going back. And so life begins. Life begins for Mary. What exactly happened in that conception of Mary? Biologically, Mary came to be in the uterus of a Jewish woman 2,000 years ago named Anne by a normal but most beautiful and most perfect union with Anna's husband, Joachim. Remember that Jesus did not have a biological father, but Mary did have a biological father. His name was Joachim. Minutes before Mary was created, Joachim and Anna were united. It is proof that this can be a holy act precisely because it is a covenantal act. And if it seems dirty, then it is your mind that needs to change, since God chose Anna and Joachim to be co-creators of his most perfect creation ever, second only to the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ himself in his sacred humanity. In his divinity, he's the divine word from all of eternity. So for all of us, and this is true for Mary, our parents are the co-creators of our body. But the Catholic faith tells us that God creates the human soul with no help. Often we look and we see that God has employed by his own willing, not because he needed it, but as a father likes to see his children succeed at something, he will send his angels to do things. He will, as I said, allow parents to be the co-creators of the body of their children. But when it comes to a soul, there is no mediation. That means mediation when God uses an angel or humans for a task. When it comes to making a soul, it is immediate. God is the immediate creator of the soul. This ties into what we're looking at today very deeply. Because Mary's soul was his masterpiece that he sent countless angels to guard her at that very moment of her conception, according to Mary of Agreda. So how did God create Mary's soul so perfect on today, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception? We have a clue in the collect from today's Mass. This is what I sang. O God, by the immaculate conception of the Virgin, thou prepared a worthy habitation for thy Son. We beseech thee that, as by the foreseen death of thy same Son, thou preserved her from all stain of sin, so thou would grant us also, through her intercession, to come to thee with pure hearts. Listen to that one part again, that Mary's soul was created by, quote, the foreseen death of thy same Son, as you preserved her from all stain of sin. Now, foreseen, if you were listening to me sing it in Latin, that word foreseen in Latin was previsa. And the Latin's very similar to our word in English, prevision, seen before. And what this collect is telling us is this, that Mary was also saved from sin by the death of Jesus, but it was ahead of time. Here's the best analogy I've heard from a Baptist convert of the faith to Catholicism. He describes it like this. Imagine there's a, well, this is good since there's two bayous meet in the backyard. Imagine you're walking and you fall into the bayou and Jesus comes and takes you out of the swamp. That's how he saves you. And imagine the swamp is sin in this case. So you walk into my backyard, you fall in, Jesus saves you out of the swamp. What he does for Mary is he saves her from ever having fallen in. I think that's the future perfect tense. He has saved her from ever having fallen into the swamp. And this is why a lot of times Baptists and other people will ask you, well, why in the world in Luke chapter 1 would Mary say, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior? If you've ever talked to a Baptist, they'll say, look, Mary right there calls God her Savior. Doesn't that mean that he saved her from sin? The answer is yes. But he saved her previsa, like we heard in Latin, ahead of time. God saved us from our sins. God saved Mary from sinning. Do you see the difference? We were saved from our sins. Mary was saved from sinning. By what? By the merits of the passion and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And thus, there's not even the slightest shadow on that tiny zygote, on that tiny soul, this very day that she has made, because she's already covered and infused through and through and through with the grace and mercy of God, kept forever in this state, without the slightest imperfection, the slightest actual sin, the slightest venial sin, the slightest mortal sin. She's a virgin before she gives birth to Jesus, during the birth of Jesus, and after the birth of Jesus. She's ever virgin, always holy, Holy Mother, Queen and Theotokos, the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother. This is who we're celebrating today. And so when Jesus saved her from ever sinning, yes, she still calls Jesus her Savior, but she was kept from sin. Now, as I said, I want to talk about this term that I heard this child say, Mother of Life. This child at the abortion mill called Mary the Mother of Life. How should we have our hearts moved on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception? And I think that comes from the word mother. We just talked about life. Now we're going to talk about the word mother. Imagine that your mother died before you die. And for some of you, that's not hard to imagine. It is the truth. But imagine that your mother has died and that she was saved. And after some time in purgatory, she went to heaven. Imagine that she is already in heaven on that day that you die. Let's say you're a martyr. You get to skip purgatory. Imagine entering heaven to see your mother for the first time in 20 years. That is how you should approach Mary at this Mass. Why? Because the Church teaches that the Mass is not earth lifted up, is not heaven descending to earth. The Church teaches that the Mass is earth lifted up to heaven. We join all of heaven, including the Blessed Virgin Mary, in worshiping who? Her? No, God. But she is with us at this Mass worshiping. And this is the truth of every Mass. Whether you like the homily, whether you like the music, as long as the priest says the words of consecration, you are raised up to heaven to be with God in this worship. And the second reason is because, as many of the saints said, yes, Mary is the Queen of Heaven and Earth, but she is our mother. Think of all the trillions of angels in the world. Think of the thousands of angels sent to guard Mary. You know St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that all those angels are different species. how generous of God that he has given us the privilege to belong to the same species as the highest creature ever made, and we get to call her mother. This is why, if you want to stir up your hearts at this Mass, if you want to actually have a love of the Blessed Virgin Mary greater and greater, imagine that, the day of your death, how would you act to your own mom welcoming you into heaven? Your mother Mary loves you more. And so some of you probably don't have the best relationship with your mother, so just supplant Mary into that analogy. What would you say to Mary on your first day in heaven? And I know probably, I mean, I think of that when I was making my homily. I was like, I think I'd be ashamed at what a lack of a generous life that I'd live. And when I thought of that, I was remembering actually a line that Mary said in the early 1980s to the children of Kibeho. You know, Mary appeared to the kids in Kibeho, Africa. And it's actually a Vatican-approved apparition. And one of the most striking lines is this. Mary said, "In the heart of my son is infinite justice and infinite mercy. In my heart is infinite mercy." Isn't that amazing? "In the heart of my son, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is infinite justice and infinite mercy. In my heart is infinite mercy." Now that's not saying Mary is infinite like God, but she is so purely the reflection of him. She is able to reflect as the mirror of justice, the fullness, and justice in that case doesn't mean it's overturning what was said in Kibeho, but the righteous one. Mary reflects the infinite mercy of God, even though she herself is not infinite. But I want you to think about that line, because if you're trying to imagine yourself going into heaven and seeing the Blessed Virgin, remember in her heart is only mercy for you. What would you say to Mary on your first day in heaven? Love her in this Mass just like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.